This episode is brought to you by Splash Refresher. I believe in the three beverage rotation on my desk at all times. One for caffeinating, one for hydrating, and one for fun. But Splash, they spice it up by putting the fun and hydration in one. I don't have to dread my 8 cups of water a day. I just drink Splash and like it. My flavor that I've been enjoying the most lately is the wild berry. Keep one on your desk. You'll be hydrated in no time. Find Splash Refresher today on Amazon and Instacart or at your local Walmart, Sam's Club, or Kroger. Betches Media presents
Ha Ha Laugh Funny
Mention It All, a Bravo by Betches podcast.
We don't say that, but now we said it.
With me, Dylan Hafer.
Hold on, check me, boo.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the Mention It All podcast. I am Dylan Hafer and I am feeling fresh as a daisy. It is Monday. It is the last week before the weird in-between week with the holidays. We've got some exciting stuff coming up. And today, more than anything, I am so excited to chat about the first 3 episodes of Real Housewives Ultimate Girls Trip, Roni Legacy. It's a mouthful. I can't figure out how I'm supposed to abbreviate it online because, like, I sort of refuse to do the, like, R-H-U-G-T colon R-H-O-N-Y legacy. It's just too much. But if I only call it Ultimate Girls Trip, it feels like it's too simple. But then if I only say Roni Legacy, it's like we're still on the girls trip. They've really painted us into a corner here. But I have to say, these first 3 episodes, I have very few complaints. We'll get into it more. We have some other stuff to talk about first. I just am freshly sitting down to record this after watching Ziwei's interview with George Santos. And if you are into drama and messiness, definitely you should go watch it. It's on YouTube now. But I just have to mention, there is one specific moment where Ziwei asks George Santos about other members of Congress that are committing fraud. And he said, oh yeah, all of them. And Ziwei goes into a perfect Sutton-inspired name 'em performance because George Santos does not want to name 'em. And, you know, Ziwei just wants him to name 'em. I posted it on Bravo by Betches. So if you aren't going to watch the full thing, you can at least go see that clip. It just killed me. It's a really wild 20-ish minute watch. But that I would highly recommend. And I also, last night was the season finale of The Gilded Age. And I can't remember if I've ever talked about The Gilded Age on this podcast before. Of course, it's not a Bravo show, not even a reality show. It's set in the 1800s. But it has this like Housewives flair to it. It really is Real Housewives of New York in the 1880s. And if you're looking for something to watch this holiday season that just will kind of scratch that itch, I'd recommend checking out The Gilded Age. It's an HBO show. It's streaming on Max. But unfortunately, I do have to share some news that has to do with Kim Zolciak-Bierman. I feel like I cannot get out of this loop of talking about Kim and Croy. Because unfortunately, there's always new stuff happening. There was another body cam, dash cam footage of Croy alleging that she's been fucking other men. And it's just another explosive fight. It's so icky. But it's bad. But then on top of it, Kim is selling her stuff again. So she made a new Instagram account over the weekend that's just for the purpose of listing stuff. You know how you'll have a friend every once in a while who's like, oh, I'm doing a closet sale. Follow this account, or like I'm posting on my stories, and it's like, oh, like Anthropology top, lightly worn, size small, runs true to size. Bought it for $75. Now it's $20. When Kim does this, and this is not the first time she does this, I don't think she understands the concept of selling pre-owned, pre-worn, pre-used items at a price that is commensurate to the fact that it's not new. Because she is selling, let me just go through. She is selling numerous wigs I'm talking four or five different wigs that are $2,750 each, like $2,750. And I'm not a wig expert. I don't know the ins and outs of what makes a wig valuable. I'm sure that Kim has had lots of nice wigs, but baby, it's used. And I don't know where it's been. I don't know if it's, I don't think you can like dry clean a wig. So that's a lot. She's selling a 6-piece Louis Vuitton men's luggage set that she said Croy only carried once to go to one of his football games. It's like it's the Louis Vuitton like checkered print, and it's a suitcase, it's a garment bag, it's a duffel. And she's saying that he only carried it once, and she's selling it for $12,500 for the set. She says it retails over $15,500. Excellent condition. It's like, I just don't understand, who is the audience for this? Like selling a pair of Louboutins or selling, you know, some Versace heels that you wore a couple times for like $500 when they retail for $1,000. Sure, I guess. Who on Instagram is buying Croy Bierman's $12,000 luggage set? Not to mention, she's saying he brought it to one of the games. The last time Croy played in the NFL was 2015. So that's been sitting in their house collecting dust for at least eight years. First of all, it's probably out of style by now. Second of all, you're just selling all your old shit. And then also, I'm really curious about their kind of dynamic with money and within the house, because why is Kim the one selling Croy's old luggage? Like, at this, the account is at Kim ZB Closet, if you want to take a look for yourself. But all of the, she's saying that you can pay for all of this stuff via Zelle. You're like sending the money directly to her. And I'm like, doesn't Croy want the $12,000 for himself? Are they pooling this money somewhere? Because it doesn't seem like they're on good enough terms to be pooling the money. But maybe all this money is just going straight to the attorneys or the debt collectors, or I don't. I just don't know. I don't know. There's this really, really ugly pair of never worn Louboutins. $650. They're like a peep toe white mesh on the foot, but then around the ankles, they have this like raffia looking sort of tassel type of thing, but then maybe feathers sticking straight up out of the ankle. I don't know. All of this also, these shoes are also being photographed on zebra print carpet, which I have to imagine is just everywhere in Kim and Croy's house. But like, goddamn. Oh God. There's a really ugly Gucci like mini duffel that looks like it looks like it's probably from 2006, 2008, just judging by the style, because it's very like 2000s Juicy Couture. You can tell the suede is like kind of dirty and like marked up, but that's $2,150. Of course, that's $2,150. You know, if you're in the market for some last minute holiday gifts, maybe Kim ZB Closet is where you can score some deals. I would not bet on the shipping making it there in time for Christmas, but hey, you could support a good cause, aka Kim's debt relief fund.
Summer is fast approaching, which means more social events, more weddings to attend, more nights on the town, and hopefully more vacations. That's why I'm so thankful for today's sponsor, Honeylove, for covering us with the best shapewear. With Honeylove, you can feel your best even when you're wearing less. They've revolutionized compression technology, so you no longer have to feel like you're suffocating while wearing effective shapewear. Plus, they're the only shapewear that won't ever roll down, no matter how much you groove on the dance floor. For a limited time only, you can get Honeylove on sale. Get 20% off your entire order with our exclusive link, honeylove.com/MIA. Support our show and check them out at honeylove.com/MIA. When talking about shapewear, Honeylove's best-selling Superpower Short is the go-to. It has targeted compression technology that distinguishes between areas where you want more support and areas where you need less compression. Their Signature X targets and sculpts your midsection without squeezing your natural curves. The Superpower Short is helping ladies everywhere sculpt and smooth from stomach to thigh by offering just the perfect amount of compression. This piece is also a booty lifter. Boost bands on the back of the thigh give your bottom an amazing shape. Treat yourself to the best bras and shapewear on the market and save 20% off at honeylove.com/MIA. Use our exclusive link to get 20% off honeylove.com/MIA. After you purchase, they'll ask where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them we sent you. The summer vibes are just getting started, honeys. Shape your life with Honeylove.
I feel like we've all had that moment where you're at somebody's wedding and you're looking around the food, the venue, the music, the overall vibe. And you're making like that mental checklist of if I were planning a wedding right now, maybe you are, maybe you aren't. What would I want to copy from this? What would I want to change? What would I want to tweak? Well, I've been a part of my fair share of weddings over the years, and I know just how stressful the process can be. You go from that newly engaged bliss to overwhelmed by invitation paper and flower colors in the blink of an eye. But using Zola helps with wedding planning from start to finish and makes every decision easier so you can stay in your bliss. With Zola, you can plan your entire wedding in one convenient place. From the day you get engaged and search for the venue to the day you send out your save the dates, make your registry, and even taste your cake, Zola has literally everything you need to make the whole process super easy and even maybe enjoyable. There's even a 5-star app that helps you plan on the go or on your couch. Zola helps couples plan the wedding they really want. With tons of unique features and personalized recommendations based on a couple's preferences, every Zola wedding is as unique as the couple planning it. They've thought of everything you'll need and have built every tool to get you to I Do, including customized checklists to get you moving, keep you on track, and prepare you for what's next. Start planning at Zola.com. That's Zola.com. Another thing I wanted to comment on is over the weekend, one of my favorite things happened in the Bravo sphere, and that is that Dr. Tiffany Moon, alumnus of The Real Housewives of Dallas, chimed in. Whenever there's like a medical topic happening somewhere in the Bravoverse, sooner or later, you can usually count on Tiffany to hop on TikTok and to assess what has happened. And so Tiffany reacted to Anna Marie and Sutton's issue from last week's episode about Sutton's esophagus. Every time I have said esophagus more times in the last week than I probably ever before in my life. I don't know. I took an anatomy class senior year of high school, so maybe then I was throat deep in esophagus talk, but really just did not expect I don't know about that. But so Tiffany said she's had time to watch the episode, so she's going to make a comment. And she specifically talked about strictures in the esophagus, which is what Anna Marie is talking about, and sort of disputed some of the things she was saying, said that she deals with like thoracic anesthesiology. So this is something she's worked on a lot. And there's a really kind of simple surgical procedure that they do sometimes to fix these things. I don't know. Go watch Tiffany's video if you want the actual, you know, like medical info about what's going on. But what was more interesting is that Tiffany sort of generally said that she was disturbed by the way that it seemed like Anna Marie was weaponizing her medical profession sort of in a personal way to get at Sutton. And I think that is why, like in last week's episode when I talked about it, I feel like I hadn't really, I don't know if I was able to articulate sort of why it rubbed me the wrong way, because I don't have that medical background. So, you know, when I'm watching it, there is that inkling of like, oh, like maybe what she's saying is true. I don't know. But hearing somebody who is a doctor and who has relevant experience in that field basically say that, hey, like the medical stuff, I'm not sure if everything she's saying is exactly right. But it's kind of neither here nor there, because the bigger issue really is the way that that conversation is being had and the publicness of the conversation, because it never felt like Anna Marie was bringing it up out of genuine concern or genuine like intent to make sure that Sutton was getting the proper care. These women don't have a background together. They don't, you know. So I thought that was interesting. It's always interesting to me to get sort of like the expert perspective from outside the group. And I think Tiffany does such a good job at that. And I really, God, I miss Tiffany on our screens. I know we only got that one season, but it felt like she had so much potential. And, you know, Real Housewives of Dallas was kind of a cursed proposition by that point. And, you know, certainly after that season, it was tough to see how it could move forward, you know, in that current form. But I am still just, I feel like there is unfinished business there. And I don't know if or how or when it's going to come back. But I do just feel like, I don't know, Tiffany, Deandra, Carrie Duber. God, I'm going to be doing, next week I'm going to be doing an episode with some 2024 sort of predictions, wish list items in the Bravo sphere, and Real Housewives of Dallas, it's always kicking around in my brain. So I don't know if anything's happening there, but God, I kind of wish it would. But speaking of shows from the past that are or aren't coming back in different formats, let's talk about Real Housewives Ultimate Girls Trip, Roni Legacy, Season 4. We made it. We're back. We're back in the Dunes Villa in St. Bart. I really had middling expectations for this season of Girls Trip. I think because there was so much back and forth about Roni Legacy as a concept, and you know, it was supposed to happen prior to this kind of as a normal show with them living their lives and following this separate group of women, like we were going to have two sets of New York housewives basically, and you know, that fell through, and then it was like, oh, I guess we can do it as a girls trip, and you know, Jill's not going to be there because there were contract issues, and it felt like there was sort of this pall over Roni Legacy as a thing. And I, maybe this is in my head, I know there were people that would say I was always excited for it, I always thought it was going to be great, but I think I just wasn't really allowing myself to be that excited for it, because frankly it's not a foregone conclusion that a show like this is going to be good. There's always going to be some element of, oh, it's fun to see them back together, or oh, like I've missed this. There's obviously a nostalgia factor more than any of the girls' trips so far with this one, because all they're talking about is past things that have happened on Roni. They all were, I mean, obviously not all of them were there for all of the same experiences, but they have shared connections. You know, when Bethany gets brought up at dinner, that's a live wire for everyone in the group. When they're talking about fired versus on pause versus, you know, who talks to who and who watches the show, all of those things feel really really kind of energized within the group because they have this shared experience. And I think if you look back to something like Girls Trip 2 that was at Dorinda's house, all of those women had sort of their own unique baggage in a way with housewives, and it was really interesting to see them come together and kind of learn about each other's experiences and work through some of that. But with this one, there is an aspect of really just diving right in. And, you know, right off the bat, the stuff with Kristen and Ramona publicly saying that she doesn't remember her, all of that was fascinating. Going to find the rooms, the fact that Ramona's acting like it's no big deal that she gets last choice of the rooms. And it's like, babe, we know, we have seen this movie before. All of that stuff, it feels like we're like skipping the intro in a way that I think really helps, especially for a show like this that you know is only going to be, I don't know, six, seven, eight episodes max, to have that kind of pick up where we left off energy, where we know exactly what we're going to get from Dorinda. We know exactly what we're going to get from Ramona, from Sonia, from Luann. Really Kelly and Kristen this season are the two wild cards in a way. And that's been interesting to watch over these first few episodes, because I think when this cast was announced, there was kind of that feeling of, okay, so obviously it's going to be Sonia, Luann, Ramona, Dorinda. Now we need to fill out the rest of the cast. Kelly, she was on Scary Island. She was not an OG, but kind of around in those early days. Cool. Kooky Kelly, let's check in with her. Kristen then was really the kind of random addition that it seemed like, okay, they need a sixth person. Who's it going to be? Tinsley probably doesn't really want to. Leah and Ebony, those waters are tainted. I don't think they're trying to work with Bravo anytime soon. Carol, same but different. Bethany, again, no. Who are you going to bring back? Jill was, you know, kind of mired in that contract issue from the first time around, so she was sort of off the table. Alex McCord was on the Morocco girls trip, which, you know, TBD. We're getting different sources and reports every day about whether or not that show is ever going to air. I don't know the answer. I've talked to people who would know the answer and they don't know the answer. So, but Alex, you know, she's doing something else. Okay, you've got your one season girlies. Cindy, no. Jules, might be interesting, but no. It really is a question of, is it going to be Heather Thompson, Kristen Takeman, Aviva? To me, those are kind of the three people you could have slotted into Kristen's seat. I don't know if Heather or Aviva were ever in talks or contacted or asked about this season. I would be interested to find out. I think, you know, Heather, they kind of tried to bring back into the fold in the final season of original Roni, and it backfired, I would say. Not necessarily her fault, but I think maybe it didn't feel like the right time to try again. Aviva, I would have been interested to see on this trip. She was in St. Bart's the first time they were there. I don't know if she would have gone back. Aviva's so removed from the whole kind of like Bravo machine at this point. And with Kristen, I am so pleasantly surprised, because Kristen is somebody who, I don't think she was bad on Housewives, but she just didn't leave that much of an impact. And because her last season was season 7, which was such a major season of the show, because it was Bethany coming back, it was Dorinda joining the show, it felt like season 7 was kind of the beginning of the modern era of Roni in a way. That, you know, those first 4 seasons were kind of like 1.0. And then season 5 and 6, they kind of tried to retool. You know, they brought in Carol, Heather, Aviva, and then Kristen. But they didn't have Bethany. They didn't have Dorinda yet. Jill was gone. Kelly was gone. It was kind of, you know, a little bit of a rebuilding phase. And then season 7 was when it really kind of locked back in. And Kristen, of course, was there in season 7, but then she left. And I think it kind of felt like Roni moved on to a new renaissance in the couple seasons after Kristen left. So her impact wasn't necessarily really felt, because you had these amazing seasons. I mean, season 8, 9, 10 are some of the best. So I think Kristen, she doesn't necessarily loom large in the memory, but when you think about it, it's like, yeah, she was solid. She held her own. And this season on Girls Trip, it really feels like she's coming in with kind of no fucks to give, in a way that, like I said, with the four kind of, the like core four women of this cast, you just sort of know what you're going to get in a way. And I think it's really telling that after these first 3 episodes, the majority of the story and the drama and the conflict involves either Kelly or Kristen or both of them. you know, Kristen and Dorinda are getting into it sort of on day one. And then Kelly and Dorinda are having their issues. And Kelly and Luann are arguing. And, you know, everybody's asking questions about Kristen's marriage and the Ashley Madison thing, or Dolly Madison, if you're Sonia Morgan. And then Kristen and Kelly are going at it. Like, they are kind of the tent poles of this season so far from a plot standpoint. And that is something that I think is really notable. And I'm enjoying Kelly and Kristen on this season, and we'll talk more about it. But I think it's also notable when you look at the other four and you say, maybe Dorinda aside, I think Dorinda is really, you know, getting in there. But Sonia and Luann and Ramona, they bring what they bring as personalities and as kind of these iconic figures. Like, you couldn't really do this show without at least, you know, two out of the three of Sonia, Ramona, Luann. But at the same time, you couldn't do this show without a couple other people that are really going to take the ball and run with it. And that's what I think is so great about Kristen. You know, she kind of got flack in the first couple episodes for being a viewer of the show, for knowing about all these things that happened when she wasn't there and asking questions and being a fan. And I think that's something it's come up on, you know, various different Housewives shows, of people being fans before they come on and sort of doing their research. And first of all, I don't have any problem with this. I think that Kristen did the smart thing of, you know, doing her homework, being ready for what she was going to encounter on this trip. But also, that allows the story to really be layered and not just rely on what happens in the moment. And that's the thing with these shows, is that following around a bunch of women for a week when they're drinking and whatever in St. Bart's, it might be entertaining, but it's not really going to be interesting. And I think this was something on the Ex-Wives Club season, when you had people like Brandy and Tamra on the show who watch Housewives and know Housewives and are really going to be able to sort of pinpoint, maybe with the help of production, but also they watch these shows, pinpoint kind of what are the topics that make sense to bring up and are going to sort of move the ball forward, like I said. And so if it's just Sonia, Ramona, Luann, they're not going to have that kind of level of reflection, or, you know, Sonia's not going to ask Ramona a messy question about something that happened on the show. Whereas Kristen, as somewhat of an outside perspective, she's going to do that. And I think the show is better for it. And the way that Kelly is really bothered by that, I think, is super interesting, because at first, you know, she's bothered that she's a fan. And then in episode three, she's bothered that she's playing host. And she, you know, she's like, you're like a friend on the trip. You're not like moderating the trip. Your name's not Andy Cohen. You're here along with the rest of us. And I get why it might be a little bit off-putting to have someone in the group that seems like they're kind of coming with a list of questions. But as a viewer, it's like, okay, yeah, that's what I want to talk about. Tired of not being able to get a hold of anyone when you have questions about your credit card? Well, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yes, you heard that right. You can talk to a human on the Discover customer service team anytime. So the next time you have a question about your credit card, call 1-800-DISCOVER to get the service you deserve. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard. Splash Refreshers are the delicious zero-calorie beverage I'm reaching for again and again when I'm feeling thirsty for something flavorful. I believe in the three beverage rotation on my desk at all times. One for caffeinating, one for hydrating, and one for fun. But Splash spices it up by putting the fun and hydration in one. I don't have to dread my 8 cups of water a day. I just drink Splash and like it. Lately, my go-to office beverage has been the Splash Wild Berry flavor. It's so nice to just put a few in the fridge at the beginning of the week, grab one whenever you want something nice and refreshing. It's just the right amount of flavor, just the right amount of sweetness. You know the vibes. When you want something refreshing, when you want something hydrating, Splash is the perfect thing to reach for. It perfectly blends refreshing fruit flavors with just a little bit of sweetness, all with zero sugar and zero calories. And it's available in 5 craveable flavors. Wild Berry, that's my favorite, acai grape, pineapple mango, lemon, and mandarin. In orange. It's there to satisfy your need for hydration with a little flavor. Consider your hydrated self thriving. Find Splash Refresher today on Amazon and Instacart or at your local Walmart, Sam's Club, or Kroger. So really, I mean, out of these first 3 episodes, I think Kristen Takeman is kind of the MVP. And you know who's the LVP? And I don't mean the Lisa Vanderpump. I mean the least valuable player. It's Ramona. It's Ramona, and I, as much as I have my own personal thoughts and feelings about Ramona Singer as a person and as a racist woman, just watching the show, Ramona, all she has to fall back on is her Ramona Singer playbook of she's going to be demanding, she's going to be mad about something, she's gonna be, you know, causing an issue, she's gonna be flirting, she's gonna be apologizing poorly. Like, it just feels like there are certain moments where watching Ramona do the Ramona thing is entertaining, and I'm not gonna deny that just because I think she's a bad person, but when it comes down to it, she's not really giving us anything. She's doing what she always does, and to her credit, it's always worked for her before until now. And I think people have been talking about, is this the last time we're going to see Ramona on TV? Is this the last time Ramona's going to get an opportunity? And the thing is, the arc of history is long, but I think it's the last time we're going to see Ramona on a Bravo Peacock show, at least for a long time. But she might get an opportunity somewhere else. You know, there's all of these mashup shows happening left and right. Who's to say she won't be on House of Villains or Special Forces or what the fuck? Welcome to Mars or Mission to Mars, whatever. I don't think Ramona is going to just fall into the ground and we're never going to see her again. But I think that this is probably the end of the run for her on the Housewives spectrum. And while I think that is partially the result of her, you know, making bad choices, even aside from that, I just don't think she has that much more to show us. Whereas, honestly, watching Kelly and Luann argue about Ranger games and watching, oh my God, the reaction when Sonia said that she is better, she said that Bethany's a good friend of hers, and she said that she talks to Bethany more than she talks to Luann. There was like a real anger there from Luann. And them kind of having to deal with that. And the idea of Sonia having to like answer for not being a very present friend, that to me is really interesting. But we're not getting any of that from Ramona. I mean, Ramona's being vague about somebody she's dating. She's saying she has a 3rd-degree burn on her arm and she's wrapped this blue like scarf around her arm the whole trip. She can't get in the water. But it's like, I just objectively, out of the 6 of them, the one who's giving the least is Ramona. And I think, you know, that in and of itself would be enough for me to be like, yeah, we probably are good on her for a while. But especially when you couple it with the racism, it's like, right, okay, let's move on. There are so many things we can do with Housewives. There are so many things we can do with Ultimate Girls Trip, even not necessarily just Housewives. We definitely don't need Ramona 4.0 or whatever the fuck. One thing that I have been loving about this trip is the lack of glam. It, to me, is so refreshing that these women are just there for a week. Just they, themselves, and them. They're not getting their makeup done. They're not getting their hair done. You can tell they're not getting their hair done. I mean, it's day three, and all of them have, like, saltwater hair in a way that is just so real, so recognizable. And I love that when Kelly walks into dinner and she says that her hair smells like an aardvark. It's so stupid. But that is one thing that I think Roni Legacy kind of gives us that I'm not sure any other city or any other kind of variation of this format really could, is that it feels like all of these women are on the same wavelength about, yeah, we're just going on a girls' trip to this house for a week. And obviously they're getting paid to be there. And I actually thought it was super interesting. I think it was in episode 2 when the conversation came up about sort of who needs the show or who needs to be there. And this was sort of a Kristen versus everyone else thing. That it's like, you know, Sonia acknowledges that she needs the money and that's why she wants to be on the show. But it doesn't really feel like the rest of them are there because they're like desperate to be housewives again. It's like an opportunity that they want to do, but it's interesting. The idea of the housewives economy and kind of like what you get the opportunity to do versus what you are hustling for. Watching them make cameos just never gets old. Talking about the pricing of the cameos, that Sonia always keeps hers at $99, so that I guess if you're searching on Cameo for like under 100, she always is going to come up. Luann sets hers at 125. Ramona, I guess, is not on Cameo, but she's asking about it and she doesn't want to have to do that many. I feel like Sonia and Luann are very prolific on Cameo, and I have to imagine that they make really good money from that. But no, I think this show just has been a lot more actively entertaining than I was expecting it to be. And I think that the arguments feel real. I mean, Kelly's energy certainly is chaotic. I'm excited to unpack that more as the season goes on. I think, you know, Kristen sort of coming back into the fray and feeling like she has to defend her marriage and all of that, I think that's really interesting. I think, you know, Dorinda kind of seeming like she maybe hasn't changed much. I don't know. There's a lot going on, and I'm pleasantly surprised by this season, and I'm excited to watch the rest of it. We'll definitely have more to talk about it over the next few weeks. I don't know exactly how many episodes there are, but I'm looking forward to it, and I'm looking forward to everything else to come. So please make sure that you are following, subscribe to the show wherever you listen so you don't miss anything over the next couple weeks. But thank you so much for listening. And until next time, be cool. Don't be all like uncool. Mention It All is produced by Dylan Hafer, Sean Kilby, Jorge Morales Pico, and Rebecca Sousmacat. Editing by Jorge Morales Pico. Social media by Dylan Hafer. Guest booking by Dylan Hafer and Ali Friedlander. Be sure to follow at Bravo by Betches on Instagram and Twitter. Thank you to our sponsor, Splash Refresher. Meet the water beverage that loves self-care as much as you do. Just because you have to hydrate doesn't mean it has to be tasteless. Splash Refresher makes hydration deliciously easy. Splash perfectly blends refreshing fruit flavors with just a little bit of sweetness, all with zero sugar and zero calories. I am going to go grab myself a wild berry splash now that I am done recording, and you should too. Consider your hydrated self thriving. Find Splash Refresher today on Amazon and Instacart or at your local Walmart, Sam's Club, or Kroger. Betches.